101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. It's the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment with the birthday boy, Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your spec with us.
Sure. I got to share it with somebody. Might as well be you guys.
What higher praise, huh?
Oh, yeah.
What higher praise. Well, let's start off with the bear in the room, your proposal for the 2% fee on the water bill to address these blighted apartment complexes. It's specifically for those. It's not blight across the city.
Correct.
It's specifically for these apartment complexes. People have asked questions, how does the mayor plan on demolishing abandoned buildings if the city doesn't own them? Will they be able to use eminent domain?
Well, we demolish buildings all the time that we don't own because we have the authority to do that under the property standards code and state law without acquiring them. So, no, I don't intend, you know, eminent domain means that you buy the property, and I do not intend to buy the property of a recalcitrant owner who's not doing what he or she is supposed to be doing and then demolishing the building. But we have the authority to demolish buildings that we don't own.
Okay.
State Representative Stephen Jackson talked about it. He's very opposed to this proposal and said something that was interesting to me, and I want you to clear it up. He said, I don't know how you can put a fee on your water bill that doesn't pay for your water service. Explain that.
People do it all the time. As a matter of fact, Bossier adds about $40 a month to the water bill for their garbage collection and public safety, et cetera. So we are authorized to do that. And we chose a percentage this time so that it would not be a flat fee and even more regressive than just a fee on the water bill is. And it also will apply to all customers, not just residential customers.
Even though the water is an enterprise fund, it's a separate fund for your water program.
Yeah, all that really means is it's supposed to pay for itself, and it does. But okay. We transfer money in and out of that fund.
Councilman Grayson Butcher has also opposed this proposal, saying that he's got residents in his district that have very poor water pressure still have taste and odor issues with the water.
And coloration.
And now we're asking them to pay more. I need you to address that, too.
Well, this is a priority decision. The council needs to give us some direction about priorities. I am laying this out there because we do not have the funds. We spend about $1 million a year, a little more than $1 million a year on demolition of buildings that violate our property standards. But almost all of those are small structures. So they don't cost $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000 to demolish. If we were not to do this and wanted to take down these apartments, which are a public safety hazard, a health hazard, if we choose not to do that, then not to to get additional revenue to do those on a one-time basis, then we would use up funds that we use to help clean up neighborhoods. So it is not something I want to do. It is simply, if we're going to do this, if we're going to undertake to tear down these apartment complexes, then we'll have to have additional revenue to do it. This is a closed source.
Help if I turn my mic back on. Is there, some other questions, is there any other way, and I know you've looked into this, is there any other way to pay for this?
We are scouring the budget in my administration, particularly Mr. Dark, Tom Dark, and we were not able to locate any other source. Now, I will tell you this. I don't like to receive city business things by Facebook Messenger, mainly because it creates public records issues, and I really try and do that on my try and do that through my email address. But I got a Facebook Messenger message from a constituent that said, if the National Guard comes here, why don't you see if you can't use them to do this? And so we are exploring that with the Adjutant General of the Louisiana National Guard. Mm-hmm. And if we are able to work that out, then this would not be necessary.
Okay. Before we get to the National Guard plan, because I know you probably met with the chief, I've got another water fee question.
Yeah, I've got one more water fee also.
You go ahead.
I know, right?
We could do an hour on the water fee.
I'm sure you could.
How do we keep from getting into this position again?
Well, we do try. There isn't any way absolutely to avoid it. We have a very good property standards code that we try and enforce. The way that many apartment complexes are financed, and the way, frankly, that many hotels are financed now, is through non-recourse financing, meaning the owner doesn't have personal liability for the mortgage. And as a result of that, if it's not going their way, then they just walk away and they don't have any consequences.
And there's no ball.
But we're still behind the mortgage. And so we end up, if we have to do something, yes, can we bill the owners? Yeah, we can bill the owners, but billing the owners behind a $12 million mortgage, you know, that bill and $450 will buy you a cup of coffee somewhere at an expensive coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have to work at doing this. And it does fall on us to protect neighbors, to protect neighborhoods, and to remove blight, mm-hmm. to address these issues. And you know, people really want to clean up the city, but sometimes cleaning up the city costs money that we don't have appropriated in the budget for those features.
Okay, this is the question that I'm seeing most everywhere, and that people are email me questions for you too. Why am I, Aaron McCarty, responsible for Derelict Don, the millionaire in Houston?
Well, first of all, these buildings are not owned by, quote, millionaires. They're owned by limited liability companies or corporations, mm-hmm. that don't have any other assets. The other feature of financing of hotels and apartment complexes is that they typically are what's called single-purpose entities. That is, that's all they own. So you can send them a bill, but they have no other assets out of which to make collections.
Explain in your heart of hearts why it's my response, why it's important that I need to see why it's important for me to help pay for that.
You pay to pick up litter. You pay to arrest criminals. There are lots of things that you pay for that really shouldn't happen, and there's a bad guy somewhere.
Right.
But our choice is to leave it be because the bad guy is not going to do what they're supposed to do, or to take some kind of action to eliminate the problem and then do the best you can to get retribution from the bad guy. You know, it's like somebody burglarizes my house. Not only is it a crime, it's also a civil offense. And I should be able to recover from the burglar.
Mm-hmm.
But the burglar doesn't have any assets. So yeah. I have the right to bill the burglar for my losses, but I don't have any way to collect it.
Right.
And that's the issue that we have with the city, with all property standards.
And so you
have lien rights on all of these property standards. Virtually none of it is collectible. That's why you'll see in our in the external audit, they talk about, well, we don't really have a handle on the receivables. You know, those receivables for property standards are basically uncollectible. And we don't have any mechanism to get an injunction to force an owner to tear down his building.
Okay. But you could break that argument down, I mean, to the infinite minute scale by going, okay, this guy broke into my house, stole my stuff, killed somebody. Okay, why do I have to pay to feed this guy now for the rest of his life?
Yeah,
why do I have to pay for his medical care?
Folks need to realize.
And now he's in prison, his children, don't have a supply, a financial supply. And now I have to pay for his children and for their food and for their health care. So, I mean, you can take that argument. We're paying for a lot of stuff
that we don't want to
do. Are not,
because of bad guys, like
are
he
not
said.
Responsible for.
All right. National Guard troops.
We got to take
come
a break.
Back. Yeah. Cool.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor segment. Mayor, moving to another hot topic right now, National Guard. There are cities across the country that are fighting President Trump tooth and nail on everything, but of course on National Guard and ICE. And we think New Orleans needs it. Baton Rouge probably does. Shreveport, not really for crime, but you've got some great ideas on how to utilize the Guard should we get a couple hundred troops in town.
Well, I had a constituent that just really had a great idea. You know, the great thing about being the mayor is I don't have to be the smartest person in the room. I just hope to surround myself with smart people, and sometimes that's constituents.
I'm never the smartest person in the room.
And so the constituents, I had a constituent that contacted me and said, what about using the National Guard? And I thought, you know, that's really a constructive, positive response
for blight
to this.
Right.
For blight.
Right.
Because blight influences crime.
And would they bring
crime.
In like bulldozers and
they have
dump
engineers.
Trucks,
they do right. that kind of stuff. And so we have in the event. In the event. And it may change. If we find out they can do it, I'm probably going to ask for it instead of simply saying, send it to me and we'll figure out what we're going to do, because that would be a huge plus. It would probably save the city $3 million.
I want to tell you, you may or may not know this, but a couple of days after you made that suggestion, you told us about it, Mayor Sid Edwards in Baton Rouge said the same thing. He said he would love to use the National Guard to help with blight.
Right.
So there's going to be a way they're going to try to figure that out, I guess.
Yeah, and the difference, I think that the difference, and I cannot speak for any other mayor. Everybody's circumstances are different. And one of the great things about my initial conversation with General Frelew was he said, every city is different. Whatever we do has to be an individualized plan for your community based on your needs and how you can use our resources most effectively. And I thought, gee, that's not, I'm from the government, I'm here to help you. This is really constructive stuff. So I was really very much enthused by our conversation, and the subsequent conversations by my staff with his staff have been very promising.
Do you feel like you could say no to the National Guard, to say, you know, we're fine, we're okay, you don't need to come to Shreveport, spend it elsewhere?
That's the governor's call. And
no conversation with him about whether or not you need him or not?
We've had a brief conversation, and frankly, based on my conversation with the Adjutant General, I feel more comfortable about the whole situation, because it isn't going to be, hey, we're going to show up and we're going to have people walking up and down your streets with guns, and I do not envision that will happen at all, and that what we want to do is to have whatever presence we get with the National Guard, have that have a positive impact, not a negative impact on the people of Shreveport.
I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Absolutely.
Now, I know you can't speak for other mayors, but do you ever go, man, I wish I could swap jobs with Ronnie Walker over in Ruston?
I promise, Ron. Well, you know, Ronnie.
He's living the dream right now, man.
Ronnie, yeah. But, you know, that kind of growth and progress creates its own set of problems. Ronnie's a good friend, and he's a really outstanding mayor very creative and a very sound administrator. So I wish him all the best. But I'll tell you, if every day you wake up and the first question is, when's Bucky's going to open? When's Bucky's going to open?
Every
when's
day,
Bucky's
yeah.
going to open? And I'm sure that every once in a while, Ronnie wants somebody to say, can you ask me one other question?
Yeah.
Can you ask me about how the water tastes?
Right.
Something.
We want to talk about National Night Out when we come back. I know the mayor went to a couple of parties, maybe had a few meals last night.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. Ask the Mayor, brought to you by Lynch's Lawn and Fence, 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Sprague Street and those streets right off downtown where crimes are being committed and streets aren't safe, for that matter, use trustees from the prisons to clean up blight.
Well, first of all, most of the people that we have who are prisoners are awaiting trial, and so you can't use them for cleaning up.
Because they're not convicted.
They're not convicted.
Right.
So you can't do that. And that's what most of our prisoners are in at CCC. They're,
okay.
The most of those people are awaiting trial.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not ours.
A lot of them are state prisoners.
They're state. Right. If they've been convicted, they're state prisoners. So it's a great thought. We just don't have the people to do it and the people to supervise it.
National Night Out when we get back, and the fatal shooting at A.B. Palmer Park at a National Night Out party.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, Lynch's Lawn and Fence, Ask the Mayor. We'll be right back after the break. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Tom Arsenault in studio for the Lynch's Lawn and Fence Ask the Mayor segment.
National Night Out last night. Let's start with the tragedy. A.B. Palmer Park, they were having a neighborhood party, which they do at A.B. Palmer every year. Wasn't registered with the city.
This was really not the same thing. This was a deal with flyers and it appeared to me not to be designed to get neighborhood people there.
It was like a promoter event. Okay.
Was there a charge to get in? Was there admission?
There was not a charge to get in that I'm aware. It's not permitted, which it should have been, but it popped up with too large a group to really go. The decision the police had to make was, do we go and break it up and perhaps cause a riot there? Or do we simply try and monitor as best we can? Unfortunately, these events, the one that we had in Allendale was the same kind of an event.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, social media invitations, everybody pops up and shows up. And those have some inherent dangers to them. And the reason that we require a permit is to make sure that there's adequate security for the event. And unfortunately, there was no security, and we had a tragedy.
A teenager's dead today, a 17-year-old.
Right.
We're looking for the clues, right? We're still looking for suspects.
About how many people were in attendance?
I really do not know.
Okay.
I was actually riding around with the police chief and was advised of it while we were on our bus going from event to event.
How many parties did you go to last night?
Five or six.
Wow.
You know, that's when I was a councilman, you could go, your council district's more compact, so you could probably, you don't have a lot of travel time. So
sure.
The travel time did it. And then now that we do it in October, it gets dark early, and most of these parties break up at dark. So they don't like to start until 6, and by 7:30 it's dark. You've only got an hour and a half, and
right.
I can't manufacture any time. Somebody, do you need more hours in the day? I said, no,
yeah.
I needed more minutes in the hours between
to get
6
to and from
and 7:30.
You need a helicopter
yesterday.
Next year. You need a helicopter. Did you hear anything from the residents that was something new for you? Something that you were like, you know what? That's a really good idea. Did you hear anything cool?
I did not. Well, I tell you, out in MLK, we were at the community garden, which right after I became elected, we had a service day on MLK Day, and we actually built most of those above ground beds that were there, and it's growing. Actually, there was some okra growing, and I love raw okra. I do.
Raw.
And
I've never heard anybody say raw okra
last night.
Okay.
So that was good. And she was explaining to us how they're going to be replanting that and making it a community garden again, which would be terrific.
That is
now,
so
I love
cool.
some okra and tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
with
yes.
chopped up onions or fried okra.
I'm not a fried okra fan. I will eat it, but I don't consider it a green vegetable. But I love it. I used to go in the garden with my grandfather, and he grew okra and green beans, and I love both of those raw. I just right off the plant.
Okay, that's an X against Arsenault now for raw okra.
Raw okra.
Let me ask you something that I know you can't talk about.
You and Chief Smith and his frog legs, you guys ought to...
I like frog legs too. Chief and I can eat some frog legs.
There's another X. Dr. Lauren Scott, one of the state's chief, premier economists, came to town last week, and he told us that there have been rumors, and he's heard a lot of talk about the Shreveport area getting a data center. He said nobody's really talking about it because they've all signed confidentiality agreements. Have you signed such an agreement?
Yes.
So what can you tell us about the data center?
Nothing.
See how I did
but
that?
But the fact that an agreement was signed.
An agreement was signed.
You don't sign an agreement for nothing.
Can you tell me if you're optimistic and explain what a data center could mean for Shreveport if that did happen?
Aaron, I'm always optimistic. That's my nature. So, yes, I'm optimistic.
And if you were to see a data center come to Shreveport, what would you like to see? How many employees would that data center might
have? You know, data centers are really capital expenditure heavy and not employee heavy. Although if we had one, it would employ a couple of hundred people. But it also will sell them a lot of water.
Right.
We will sell them a lot of water, which
a lot of
will
electricity.
Be beneficial, and we'll sell them a lot of electricity. They gobble up electricity and water, so you'll have a lot of construction jobs in the first several years.
If that were to happen here, is it on your timetable for? Do you have a timetable that you would like to have a huge announcement coming out on this?
Well, I'd like to have it tomorrow, but I don't think it'll happen then, Aaron.
Will it happen before your re-election campaign?
I have absolutely. Yeah.
I got a stupid question.
Okay.
Why does a data center use a lot of water?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I know it's true, but I don't know the answer to that question. I will have to answer you the way, you know, when I was in the JCs, we used to do a half-hour program, and one of my programs was to interview the new incoming president of the JCs. And so I got in, and it was live television, all right? And so I got on, and I'm the host, and I'm talking to the new president, whose name I will not share with you, and I asked him the first question, and he said, I have... nothing to say.
All right. Well,
so I had a half hour of dead air.
Oh, not good. Not good. But let me say, you went to Denver recently for an AI conference.
I did.
Linking that kind of to the data center. You learned a lot there. Can you share some of that?
Yeah, I did. This was, it was not about, the conference was the second annual one that Denver has done. It's called DEN AI, Denver Artificial Intelligence Conference. And it was not about how best to use ChatGPT. It was, what are the applications that people are making for local governments? And there were two really, two particularly promising ones that I saw that we're going to be following up on to see about cost and effectiveness. And one of those is an instant permitting application that it would use AI to compare your building code to a proposal and use AI to actually quickly
if you meet
give you
the,
your permit, and you would pay an extra fee for that. But the fee they're talking about is $50. So
okay,
but it would move it through the process, and it's active in about 60 cities
okay
right now. So it's something to look at. The second thing was a public safety app that would place a lot of information in a summary form to a police officer on the officer's phone, not just in the computer. And they showed us the, you know, if you look at the computer in a police car, mm-hmm. it's got all kinds of charts and graphs and mm-hmm. everything that's really not easy to read. This is an easy to read deal that's developed by a former FBI agent and really promising. So we're going to be looking at that too.
When we come back, I want to ask him the impact of the government shutdown on Shreveport government. Are there checks in the mail we're waiting on? And, you know, what kind of impact?
And I also saw a recent story on sick outs by air traffic controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What is that affecting here in Shreveport? Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Mayor Tom Arsenault in studio. We got to wrap up. We just have about 2 minutes.
Government shutdown, Mayor. Any impact? What are there some things on your list that you're keeping an eye on?
Our department heads are keeping an eye on it. I'm not aware of any impact now. I think if the shutdown were to be resolved in a week or so, then probably we're not. I'm sure there'll be some delayed checks. I will say that my Social Security check came through, so I'm I'm thankful that eagle flew. It
right.
flies directly into my bank account.
Yes. You're nice. Officially announcing a re-election campaign tonight at a private event. So
yes.
You're running for re-election.
I am.
And your top three qualifications, why you should be re-elected.
If you were to, in fact, I did this. I asked ChatGPT. I took one of my campaign brochures and I put in the things that I said I was going to do. And I asked ChatGPT, how was Tom Arsenault doing on these promises? And it gave me a 3-page report, and I can tell you that I'm very pleased.
Wow.
That we have accomplished or made great progress on every single thing that we talked about. The biggest thing I can say about my reelection is I told you what I was going to do, and I did it. You can trust me, and you can see the progress.
That's very cool.
That is very cool. Well, happy
Mayor,
birthday to you. What are
thank you?
59 now? Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
I'm at least 59.
Okay,
Ruben
good.
Lined up a stripper, but he didn't make it. I don't know. Gosh, dog. He didn't make it in time.
Well, happy birthday. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
We appreciate
thank
it.
You so much. Happy
sure.
birthday to you, and good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Coming up next hour, by the way, Louisiana Agricultural Commissioner Mike Strain going to join us talking about these drought conditions.
Mm-hmm.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Seven FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Louisiana Agriculture Commissioner Mike Strain joining us. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing very well. Thanks for jumping on the line with us. We spoke with a meteorologist from the Weather Channel yesterday, and he told us that there's no rain projected area for the next 12 months.
I mean, he didn't say that.
Well, it's he better not say that. If not, he and I are going to have a talk.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at what's happening, Tropical Storm Jerry, it's not going to hit the United States. It's going to stay over water. And so these storms have really not been coming into the Gulf and bringing in the moisture that we need. You know, one of the things we rely on is the tropical storms to bring that. And then if you look overall at the weather patterns, there's very little precipitation coming across the Texas panhandle. And really, you don't see it coming into Louisiana. There might be a few drops of rain around Alexandria today. There's some clouds, but very limited. And then the next 7 days, it's expected to be absolutely bone dry. Now, if you look at the drought monitor, which we watch very, very closely, it does show that in the Monroe area, we are starting to get abnormally dry. If you look, you know, into the Monroe and to, you know, around East and West Carroll and so some other areas of the state. Now, moderate drought is in just west of Baton Rouge and then down in part of the Florida parishes all the way through Plaquemine Parish is abnormally dry. We have been seeing some fires, and we are really telling them to be careful. Mm. You know, really, in the last week, we had 43 fires, a total of 274 acres. Yesterday, we had three fires overall. And what's happening, a lot of people are out there. It's beautiful weather. They're cleaning up the yards. It feels cool. Then they're lighting that brush pile. None of these fires have been, quote, acts of nature. In other words, lightning hasn't caused any of this. Most of this, you know, is precipitated by human activity. So we're telling everyone, please, please be cautious. Right now, with the conditions, look, the grass is dry. There's a lot of dead grass out there, and these grass fires kick on pretty carefully. And if you are going to burn, you know, a trash pile, stay with it. Don't go inside to get a libation. Don't go take a nap. Don't leave it. Because, you know, it can get away from you.
Well, and have a hose ready, too. Have a hose charged and ready if you're doing that.
You need a hose and a rake.
Mm-hmm.
Have a hose with water and a rake and be prepared, you know, to put it out and to deal with it. Because, look, the way to fight a fire is quite small. Fire grows in a three-dimensional type fashion, and it can get away from you. It is amazing how fast it can run across the field and get ahead of you. You're trying to, quote, stomp it out with your feet. You need to have a hose nearby, some water, and, of course, a rake or another utensil as well.
Mike Strain, Louisiana Ag Commissioner, I'm only seeing a few burn bans in Louisiana. Do you anticipate that's going to be changing here pretty soon?
Well, if we get into moderate drought, if it continues to get dry, this intensifies, the answer to that would be yes. If you look at some of the areas where we get into D1, then we will have those burn bans. We try to limit those burn bans as much as possible until it is necessary because, one, you'll have a buildup of stuff that needs to be burned. In other words, those burn piles, you know, in around homes and other things will start getting larger, and at some point, they'll be burned. So, you know, if we can continue to have just using common sense, if it gets moderate drought, we will institute the burn bans. And it's done parish by parish because every parish is different. And, again, we really, you know, really, really, really hope that people pay attention to what's going on because, like in Euclid Times, please don't light that match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only you can prevent wildfires. And, you know, we have crews across the state. But, again, what we don't want is to get into that condition where we are in a D4 exceptional drought and have this a repeat of 2023, which was one of the three worst years in Louisiana history, if not the worst year for wildfires. And so we're not there. We're hoping that, you know, normally when you get into late October, November, it starts getting wet into December. And then you get into, you know, January and February is when it starts drying up again because that's when you normally have people that burn pastures doing prescribed burns and that sort of thing.
Louisiana Ag Commissioner Mike Strain, with these drought conditions, do you expect it to affect the upcoming crawfish season?
Well, it's not that dry yet. And if you look at a lot of the crawfish area now, it is in abnormally dry, moderate drought. But we do have enough water. What happened with the upcoming crawfish season, it got so dry. It was in a D4 that actually the crawfish ponds dried up and it dried up to, you know, 2 feet below the surface. and then there was no water. The wells dried up. I don't anticipate that. I will tell you that we do anticipate an exceptional season. More and more farmers are going to raise more crawfish this year. So I think we'll have upwards of 360,000 acres, plus what's going on in the basin. Right now, we have enough water. And I'm hoping that, again, you know, when we get, you know, after the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll start to replace the water in the canals and make sure we have enough. Right now, I don't see a problem. But if this drought continues to grow and intensify, it will. It could affect it. But right now, we've got a lot more acres planted, and we have sufficient water.
What about our fall crops, Mike Strain? Oh, are you concerned about any of those?
Well, we're harvesting now.
Okay.
And so if you look at overall, we've got about 70%, you know, of our, you know, soybeans are already harvested. A majority of our corn is harvested, and the cotton, all the cotton bowls are opening up. So at harvest time, dry conditions are good. It helps dry down the crops, and you can get in and get it harvested quickly. And then where the condition is when you look at what are the ground conditions, really late January, going in the planting season, you've got to have adequate moisture. So for now, it's not a problem. So we were able to get through the growing season, and we're in harvesting season
okay. Now.
So the next thing, the next major crop, of course, will be our crawfish and a little bit of wheat. We don't do a lot of wheat, but a little bit of wheat. But the drought conditions at this point really will concern us if it's still dry. Again, late January going into February, we look at ground temperature as well as moisture as to when to plant. And we normally plant in Louisiana 2 to 3 weeks earlier than the rest of the United States. And that does give us an advantage there.
One more thing, and I didn't pre-warn your folks about this, so I hope you don't mind. Like a minute. The government shutdown, what kind of impact on Louisiana agriculture?
Well, what's happening is that the majority of the folks at the National Resource Conservation Service are not in their offices. If you're looking for instance, the crop progress and condition report, that's not being done through the National Agriculture Statistics Service. All of our federal partners that we rely on, they are in shutdown mode, and so they are, quote, furloughed. They're not home. And then if you're trying, you know, to get a crop loan, that can't be progressed. Right now, if you're trying to close on a home, you can't get flood insurance. You can't buy flood insurance. Mm-hmm. So everything stops. And so when it stops all the wheels and the cogs of commerce. So that's what the interplay is for agriculture. And so our congressional delegation is working. We were visiting with a number of them yesterday on some issues. But the shutdown does have an effect, and mainly through conservation, through the other work we do with the Farm Services Agency, all the reporting, all the information that we need, and then, you know, such things that, you know, getting a new policy for flood insurance or what else.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Ag Commissioner Mike Strain, thank you for joining us, sir. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
You too, sir. Thank you. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I have two questions, and we may not can get both of them in this kind of short segment.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor's announcement party last night.
Yep.
I want to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
We know Fitty showed up.
He did.
That's very cool.
He did.
But I also want to ask you about, you mentioned in the news that his 2% water fee.
Pretty much DOA now.
It is pretty much.
Well.
And why is that?
Well, let me just lay it out there. If you've got Grayson Butcher says he's a firm no.
Right.
Now you have Tabitha Taylor.
Right.
Who's saying not a priority.
So there's your left and your right.
Both sides.
Both saying, right.
Both sides of the aisle are saying
this is not
going to happen. So I can't imagine everybody else is going to, oh, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do a 2%
sure.
fee. So if you've got people on both sides of the stream saying not happening.
Yeah. Tabitha released a statement yesterday.
She did, saying this is not a priority for the council at this time. You know, obviously blight is, but putting a fee on residents is not a priority. So she sent that statement out, and she referenced the mayor's interview. She didn't say Keel, but she said the mayor's interview mm-hmm. on the 2% fee. I can only assume she's talking about our interview, but she wanted it clear, made clear that this is that fee is not a priority for the council. They have to approve it.
Right.
It's not a mayoral decision. So they have to vote on it.
Right.
So if they have to vote on it and you've got Grayson Butcher and Tabitha Taylor agreeing this is a no-go, I'm going to tell you, it's DOA.
Right.
I mean, there's no chance. I hate that for the mayor because he seems pretty genuine in why he wants to do it. There's no mayor in the world that's going to come with an extra fee, you know, in an election year unless he truly believes it's the only way to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to use that fee, that money that would generate about $3 million. He wanted to use it to tear down the blighted apartments and properties that are a hazard and dangerous in the community. Because if he uses the demo money we have, which is about $1 million, he told us yesterday, on the apartment complexes, that would wipe out the demo fund.
Nothing left for anything else.
Yeah, if a house burns in Highland, guess what? They don't have any more demo money to go take care of that. So,
when does the demo money become, where does that come from and how does it become replaced?
Well, I'm sure it's from the general fund and they just allocate a certain amount to the demolition fund in public works.
Could it be replaced next year? Is that how that works?
I mean, they could decide, and we had a question from a former city councilman about why not use some of the reserve?
Right.
And if it's a huge priority to the mayor, he may say, hey, we're going to not have quite as much reserve as we want next year because this is such a priority to me. So he could do that. He could change his mind and say, look, I know this is not going to pass at the council, so let's do it this way. Let's lower the reserve and take that down to, you know, by $1 million or $1.5 million or whatever you need to do to demolish these apartments. Or you could go piece by piece. Once you get the go-ahead to tear down an apartment complex,
mm-hmm.
go to the council and say, look, we're going to need $200,000 to tear down the Jolie apartments. Let's take that from the reserve. Let's tear it down and get it done. And they could do it piece by piece like that. I'm not sure if you want to keep doing that every time you get the go-ahead, the green light to tear down apartments, but you'd rather just go, you know, and have the money ready.
But those are a one-time thing.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, those apartment complexes on Centenary, once they're gone, they're gone.
Yes.
It's not.
But the problem with it, Mike, and I know we're running up against the clock, is that, you know, if you have the money in a fund and you get the green light legally to tear it down, you still got to go out for bids. You know, so there's still another there's another step in the process, which is another hitch in the giddy up. When we want them torn down now, that's not how government has to work. You know, they got to go out for bids. They got to take the low bidder. They got to make sure the company has all the bonds and all that stuff that they need. And, you know, it's just a slow process. So if I were a betting woman, I would tell you we probably don't tear one of those apartment complexes down before the end of next year.
Wow.
Because of the whole process you have to go through. Now, I may be wrong. Somebody may prove me wrong. But right now, doesn't look like that 2% water fee's got a chance.
Exciting growth going on in Blanchard, Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
He's not quite rusting, but it's not looking good.
But it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Blanchard Mayor Jim Galambos joined us and explained to us what's going on. Hear that after the news. Bottom of the hour, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Blanchard Mayor Jim Galambos gave us an update on a lot of success going on in Blanchard, Louisiana. Hear what he has to say right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Blanchard Mayor Jim Galambos joining us. Mayor, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're doing very well. I know this is last minute. Thanks for jumping on with us. But you've got some exciting things happening there in Blanchard and leaking into North Shreveport.
Mm-hmm. What's coming for Blanchard? What's ahead that we know about?
Well, what we know about is we've got a lot coming. Be right next door to the AutoZone in front of the Walmart property, and next to Tim's Collision, we've got a full-service restaurant. Land has been purchased and annexed, and they hope to be a steak and seafood restaurant.
Nice.
At the next door to the Dollar Tree, we've got AT&T store going to open, and that's already built.
Okay.
And then they're putting the finishing touches on the new Take 5 oil change, which is right next to the O'Reilly's. And that ought to be opening probably before Thanksgiving. And I do believe that that's it for right now. Oh, we do have, we're dealing with people called Racetrack. They bought some property or finished buying it across from Love's Truck Stop.
Okay, and that is now in the town of Blanchard, right? It's been annexed in, correct?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Racetracks bring in a lot of money, a lot of sales tax. What kind of impact is this going to have on the town of Blanchard?
Well, you got to understand now, we don't get sales tax from gas, okay?
Okay.
So it's just items, food items purchased in the food banks. So, you know, Love's brings in close to $5,000 a month in sales tax revenue, which is all used by the police department.
Okay. And Racetrack would be about the same, I would bet, huh?
Well, yeah, I would think. I don't know, but we'll certainly find out. Listen, anything better than what that property is bringing in now would be a joy. So we just go from there.
Dr. Lauren Scott, one of the state's premier economists, told us last week that there are a lot of rumors around our area for Shreveport-Bossier that a data center could be coming to our region. Mayor Tom Arsenault told us earlier this morning that he has signed a non-disclosure agreement. Have you signed anything like that regarding a data center?
Mine was called Keep Your Big Mouth Shut Agreement, but yes, so I did.
You did? Oh,
I did, yes, ma'am.
So you can't leak anything about that?
Not me. No, ma'am.
Okay.
Listen, I don't look good in orange, so I'm not going.
Nobody does. Know? What would a data
Nobody
center,
does,
though,
I
what
think.
Would a data center mean for Blanchard if it were to come to your area?
Well, I've been, there's been some people talking about one also or something big over off by Morningsport. And so I don't know if these people are just following the electrical grid improvements, and what they're doing, but, if it's anything like the construction going on in Delhi, which is at Meta Center, I understand it's bringing in 1,200 construction jobs on a daily basis, and that all the RV parks and hotels are full with construction workers. So in the beginning, you know, a big investment would bring in a lot of tax dollars because of the spend of people buying groceries, eating in restaurants. You know, so mm-hmm. We look forward to that, and we welcome them.
Can you explain, Mayor Galambos from Blanchard, how this process works? If somebody is looking to bring in a data center, and they're looking at several options, Blanchard maybe being one, Benton maybe, Shreveport maybe, do they call you? Do they come visit everybody? What happens? Do you all get together in one room? And all sign this
no.
Shut Your Big Mouth agreement?
No, I can't. All I can say is that I was approached and signed an NDA. And, you know, we've had some discussions from there. And now whether that goes any further, I don't know. These things can crop up and you can get all excited and everything. But, you know, we'll see. There's supposedly be some announcements coming out in the next few months, probably closer to the end of the year. We'll all know for certain what's going on then.
And you obviously are hopeful that Blanchard is in the mix, right?
Well, Blanchard is in the mix, and that's a good sign for Blanchard. We're the town on the grow, and you know, we've done some impressive things over the last 10 years, and it's all been very good for the public and, you know, for the community. We, you know, we've got shopping centers, we've got restaurants, more to come. That's for certain. You know, we've got the mountain bike park, you know, opening slowly over there on Highway 1, just past the tall antennas on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And they're putting in a 500-car parking lot. You know, the attraction will bring in people from far away as Houston and New Orleans and Mobile to come ride the mountain bike park. It's supposed to be 22 miles of trails.
Well, if there were a data center to go in your area, where would you like to see it? Because I know there's the one, it may be the one you just referenced, they were saying that thing, the Meta one, is going to be as huge as Manhattan. Obviously, this wouldn't be that big, but where would you like to see one?
Well, I'm not too certain that Blanchard doesn't have that kind of property available. Now, on the outskirts, we do, you know, there's a lot of different areas that, you know, just like Shreveport. I mean, you know, Shreveport doesn't have an available 5,000 acres that you can build on. I mean, you know, even if you go down Mansfield Road, that all the way to Keithville, that's just filled with businesses. So, you know, there's a lot of land going west. There's a lot of land going north. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what shakes down out of it. And as I said, we may learn something new. I haven't talked to them since April.
Okay.
So, well,
you're doing good at keeping your mouth shut.
My wife won't agree. So, okay. Well, but other than that, we're excited for anything that comes in here. You know, we're excited if we get a Dilla's quesadilla place, or a Panda Express.
That's exciting.
We're excited for any kind of growth.
Right. Well, absolutely, because growth fosters more growth.
Growth fosters more growth, and it. Every tax dollar that we bring in is for the benefit of Blanchard Police Department. You know, cars need new tires every day. We need new brakes. We've hired new officers. You know, so we're just, you know, and because of that, the police department is getting to be self-sufficient. We don't have to depend on property taxes no more to support them.
So how many officers do you have now in Blanchard on the police department?
We have nine. Officers, seven of them full-time, I believe, plus a full-time police chief.
I remember when there was just like two.
Mm-hmm.
There was two, that's right.
Mayor
Gary Presswood and the chief.
Because of the developments that are coming, whether they're small like Waffle House or big like Love's and Racetrack, are you seeing that some housing developments are coming into new neighborhoods and you're starting to see more places for people to move in and live in Blanchard?
Well, over there at Blanchard Lake Estates off of Wassum Road, a company is called DSLD Homes out of Lafayette, has been continuing building and selling, okay? I sign about six house plats every 3 or 4 months, and they're just continuing adding. E&L Development is building back again behind Northwood High School. They're finishing up some of the projects, and they're that has infrastructure. They're looking at doing more. There's a new E&L Development is putting in a new retail spot, kind of like a strip mall. And, you know, we don't know what that's going to be yet. And, there's some houses being developed and planned. It's just, you know, a little slow yet because of the interest rates. And once the interest rates come down, but, you know, I think these developers are feeling the need maybe that in the future we'll need some more homes very quickly.
Gotcha.
Which is good.
You bet.
Which is good.
Mayor Jim Galambos of Blanchard, appreciate you jumping on so quick. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You bet.
You too, sir. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back with more McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm looking at the James Bond collection. There's a James Bond collection.
What y'all are telling me can't be true.
On Amazon.
I want you to tell me what y'all are really seeing and hearing. I think it's a lie.
I just now heard about it and saw it on the TV just
okay,
now.
Okay, they haven't made it to this one. There's all the James Bonds in this collection.
People can't see what you're referring to. Right. What are you talking about?
I'm showing Ruben. Right. And it's the poster of the DVD or the front of the DVDs, and they still have every James Bond from Sean Connery, Roger Moore, even Lazenby, and they're all still holding their guns.
Okay.
And it looks like, who's the latest, what's his name?
Daniel Craig.
Is holding almost like an AK-47.
So why are you referencing this? What are they doing?
apparently, if you go on to Amazon and look at all of their posters and their promos for James Bond movies, there was a story I saw yesterday, and Ruben just mentioned it a moment ago, that they've removed the guns from the James Bond posters.
The evil guns?
The famous picture with Sean Connery with his arms crossed and holding the PP7, which is basically the co-star of the 007 movie.
Yes!
Has been removed, and it's just him with his arms crossed.
The gun's gone.
Now, this Daniel Craig collection, he's still holding
it. He's got it. Okay.
He's still holding it. He's still holding the gun.
They hadn't got to those yet, maybe?
Maybe.
I don't see what this story is referencing, because I did see some pictures that they did bring up. Well, now there's one, Sean Connery, and he's holding that PP. Look at there. Yeah, there he is.
Have they made a statement about why they've changed them?
I don't know that they have, according to what I'm looking at on Amazon right now.
Maybe they're talking about Amazon Prime, like where you can pick the movie you're going to watch.
Oh, well, yeah, when you're scrolling through your TV, seeing.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
Like on the Prime Video.
I think maybe that's what they're talking about.
Okay,
got to search for a story about it and see if there's any truth to it. I'm just, what on earth?
Why?
Why? Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's misleading. It's a movie about a guy who shoots people.
Yeah, he uses a gun.
That's the meat and potatoes of it. But, you know.
God.
Okay, now on these Prime videos, there's Daniel Craig, and he's just kind of adjusting his cuffs. Sean Connery, and he looks like he's got the backpack on, but there's no gun.
Wow.
There is an article in the New York Times, and the headline says, Prime Video quietly scrubs guns from James Bond artwork.
Good gosh.
Oh,
yep,
wow.
There's Daniel Craig, no gun. Man with the golden gun. Mm. Roger Moore, no gun the picture.
With the golden gun.
The gun's gone.
No golden gun.
I'm surprised they just didn't say the man with the golden.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
That's stupid.
That's crazy.
That's incredibly stupid.
What is wrong with you two? Guns are evil. Don't you know that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We should get rid of all of them, even in posters.
Don't raise my shirt right now.
Get rid of guns in movie posters, too.
And not to be cliche, but it wasn't the PP7 that killed people in the James Bond movies. It was James Bond.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true. All of these posters have action shots, but no guns.
Oh,
none of these. License to kill. License to kill.
Y'all are crazy. Movie posters kill people. Y'all need to hush.
My God.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Well, there you go. Talking about Mayor Tom's party coming up and his major announcement that he made. Mm-hmm. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. One oh one seven FM 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. LSUS political science professor Dr. Jeffrey Sato joining us. Dr. Sato, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Howdy.
We know the mayor announced yesterday his reelection campaign coming up. I think he's done a great job, been very transparent. How do you see this mayor's race shaping up? What kind of opposition is he looking at?
Yeah, I think he's going to, we don't know. I mean, he's announced, as a matter of fact, he's announced more than a year before the election, which is pretty unusual, but get out in front there, particularly because he probably is going to face some kind of opposition. And the fact of the matter is, among certain political elements in the community, his election is seen as somewhat deviant. The reason why he's in office, and the only reason, according to this view, is that he faced an unpopular Democrat opponent. So get the right opponent in there, so to speak, and given the demographics of the electorate, so the thinking goes, then that person can knock him off.
So this thinking is because he faced Perkins, who was so unpopular. Is that right?
Well, Tarver.
Tarver.
Yeah, Tarver. Yeah, Perkins, too. I mean, yeah, he could expand it. Both were not very well received by some people in the community, including people that normally would be expected to vote for a Democrat. So the thinking, again, is that you get the right candidate in there, whoever that might be, and he's vulnerable.
Okay. He's an incumbent mayor. He's a Republican. Do you anticipate anybody else from the Republican side challenges him? He's got some people mad on that side. You know that.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. Nobody I think that you'd describe as a quality candidate. You're looking at a guy that's proven he can win, in an electorate that's where Republicans are a distinct minority. Somebody who's got a pretty good chunk of change in his campaign war chest at this point and looking to go higher. So that would be a lot of inertia for someone from that side of the aisle to challenge him. Now, from the other side, it's another matter.
Let's talk about that. Do you anticipate any current city council members challenging him to be mayor?
Yeah, possibly. I really couldn't tell you who, but it seems to me that that the opportunity is just too present. Just something that is not going to be passed up by somebody out there. I would suspect obviously that the term limited members might be the more likely to do it. That may not necessarily be the case as we saw in 2022, but. Democrats are going to come up with somebody. I'm positive about that, and probably a quality candidate.
Well, a lot of rumors have suggested Sam Jenkins is going to jump in the race. Do you see that as a distinct possibility?
Yes, he's a former city councilman, and he's basically a free shot for him since he's a member of the legislature, and he wouldn't have to give up that office to run. So. Maybe to make things better for him, he's in a leadership position in the party in the legislature, so it could expand his fundraising statewide. So, I'd see that is a definite possibility.
Let's talk about that then. Is a Arsenault Sam Jenkins race a tougher race than the Tarver Arsenault race was for Arsenault?
Yeah, I think so, because Tarver built up a number of animosities, I guess you could say, over a long career in politics, and that's basically what did him in. Jenkins, by contrast, hasn't really built up a network of people not too thrilled with him, let's say, within the Democratic Party, much the opposite, in fact. So, he'd be a stronger candidate.
Let me ask you this, Dr. Jeffrey Sato. What is bringing the Democratic votes to Arsenault? Obviously, he can't win just getting the Republicans in Shreveport. What brings the Democrats to the table for him?
Well, again, the dynamics are very different in 2022 when you had, we can argue, two rather unpopular figures among certain segments of the party, trying to run as a standard bearer, and one of them ending up in the runoff. This time, I don't see that happening. You're going to get someone who does not have that kind of opposition within the party. So, Arsenault, of course, he'll have had 4 years in office. He'll have done some things which are popular. I think most popular is the Blight Initiative. Well, at least up to this point, maybe when you start seeing 2% surcharges on your water bills, that might change for some people. But that's an example of something that is nonpartisan in nature, really, that kind of thing. Nobody's for blight. Everybody wants to get rid of eyesores. That's something that crosses partisan boundaries and something that can attract support of Democrats. But at the same time, if you have a Democrat out there campaigning bringing up a number of much more divisive issues or issues on which Arsenault has stumbled. So, for example, we could look at policing. Crime rate's going down, but it's still pretty high. There's additional National Guard element that may be divisive. That's apparently on the way. Some self-inflicted wounds there by Arsenault, police substations, police headquarters issues, relocation, and the like. So if a Democrat can campaign on those kinds of things.
And our water, a lot of people still saying that their water tastes nasty. The mayor's got to own that.
Yeah, sure. And that was something that whoever won in 2022 was going to have to live up to face. Not of their own doing, but because of mistakes over the last several decades, you could argue, going back, that left a very deficient water system. Someone has had to go there and clean up it, and more importantly, would have to raise money, which may include taxation, in order to solve that. And he's the one left holding the bag. Well, it wasn't his fault, but he's the one that does it. So, yeah, that's something else that can be turned against him.
Well, you mentioned the police stations and the substations. That seems to be going very well. How is that a stumble?
Well, because early on in the process, apparently, just one example, Arsenault made a deal, a rather unfavorable deal, many thought, with the siting of one station that had all sorts of restrictions attached to it that turned out to be a headache. You can be faulted for saying, well, why did you do this? Why are we not getting out of headquarters more quickly? He's come back from that. He's certainly, there was a stumble there that he apparently has done well to compensate for. But, it's things like that. And, of course, again, people can point to the city's crime rate and murder rate and the like. Again, going down, but like it or not, 2 to 3 times higher than pick the state or national statistics. I think that's a point of vulnerability.
Curtis 50 Cent Jackson showed up at his party last night. How much does that help his campaign in the Democratic community? A lot of people are critical of, we hadn't seen filming yet. Nothing's happened yet. What's going on? That lease you were supposed to start filming within 180 days. That's, we're 2 years out from that. But does having him in Mayor Arsenault's corner help him a ton?
Not a ton. Marginally, I would say. I mean, there are going to be a few people that might be impressed some pop star is basically hanging around. But in the end, I think some of the things you just cited, we've heard a lot of talk and we've seen a lot of snapping up of properties around downtown, but haven't really seen any action. So that's something that'll help at the margins, certainly, but it's not going to be this ace in the hole or anything like that.
Dr. Sato, thanks for talking with us this morning. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Thanks, Doc.
Talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
It's funny how ChatGPT works, Mikey.
Oh, okay.
You know how the mayor told us yesterday he ChatGPT'd
himself?
How has he done as mayor? And he got a 3-page report about he's kept all his promises.
Right.
Well, I just did ChatGPT for the most controversial topics for Mayor Arsenault. And I got a 3-page list of things he has stumbled on. So you can get ChatGPT to do whatever you want it to do.
Well, I don't know. But,
and some of them are, there are things that he probably should have rethunked.
Right.
How he handled some of them. But.
And who did we talk to before that was like, there's no manual.
Oh, no.
There's no. Somebody that's elected mayor that's never been mayor, it's a huge curve.
Yes, exactly. And I'll give you I'll cite an example for you because, Knight Street has been under my saddle for a long time. And Knight Street was supposed to be done this past summer. It's not halfway done yet.
Really?
It's not halfway done yet.
Because I just got on it, and I was surprised at how much has been done. Because I've heard...
To South Point Parkway, it's done. from Shreveport Barksdale to South Point Parkway, it's done.
Okay.
Between there and Preston, it's a disaster zone. It's a disaster zone. And there have been boondoggle after boondoggle after boondoggle. You don't know that when you're when you're elected mayor. You don't realize you're getting the low bidder.
You're getting the low. See, that's it.
And this contractor might not, he might not be best at doing roads. He might build buildings, but you know, he wanted to test his luck on getting a road contract. So he put in a low bid. Well, guess what? You're now a year overdue. You're not halfway done. You're causing all kind of problems for the neighbors. One business owner over there was so upset with his contractor that he bought a property because the contractor was just storing crap on the property and he wanted it off the property and they wouldn't move it. So he bought the property and he has an order for them to remove the crap now. And I'm like, but that's the kind of thing that when you're elected mayor, you're right. You don't know all the stuff you've got to deal with that pop up on a moment's notice of things that you're going to have to address immediately.
Look at the difference in Donald Trump's first term and the things that he's learned and has implemented in his second term.
Oh, absolutely.
You learn things
way faster at those executive orders and getting them out there and making things happen.
And I mean, surrounding yourself with people that you know are loyal and are good at their jobs.
When he said, when he changed the Gulf of Mexico to Gulf of America, almost within 4 hours, everything on government websites was changed. He had that plotted. He had that. Everybody knew it was coming.
Right.
And he made sure they carried it out fast. And he's been doing that with lots of things.
Well, so. I think the biggest thing he learned was staff, people around you.
Yes.
He got saddled with a lot of people that were not loyal.
Mm-hmm. True. And he didn't replace them quick enough.
Right.
You're right. Yeah. You're right.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty.
All right. Get stuff to throw.
What are you doing, baby? What are you doing down there?
Get stuff to throw.
Baby? Sweetie?
Honey,
so
baby,
apparently,
sweetie.
So apparently if I say baby, look, baby.
Oh.
That's offensive.
Oh, gosh.
There's a waitress at a local establishment. I won't name names. She's okay, sweetie. Okay, baby. I mean,
see, I'm okay that I'm at a restaurant like that. I'm okay. My mother called everybody honey, honey. You know, she was like that.
Now, see, and sometimes if a waitress comes over and like tops my tea or something like that, thank you, sweetie. Yeah. Is that offensive if I say that?
I wouldn't like it if I was her.
Really?
I wouldn't. I don't like it if a man says it to a woman.
I'm not saying it to another man.
Well, exactly. So it would be...
No, not exactly.
Would you like a man to call your wife baby? Thank you, baby. To your wife?
That's different.
Thank you, baby.
If my wife was... If my wife was serving at a restaurant, I don't think that would...
And you wouldn't like it. Nah. You wouldn't like somebody using those... You know, it just sounds like... I don't like it. I never have. I don't want a man, or I don't really like it when women even say, hey, honey, how are you, honey? How are you, baby? Used to drive me crazy when my mama did it. And I know it's Southern hospitality, and I get that. And so I tolerate it from, like, wait staff and, you know, service-type people. But
it's offensive to you.
It is. It really is.
It's interesting.
You and I don't know each other like that. You haven't earned the right to call me honey or baby or sweetie.
You're not talking to me. You're talking about
the general public. Okay. Yeah. Well, you ain't earned the right either, but...
Golly.
I'm playing.
Put me in my place.
I don't like anybody, really, to call me that. You know what I mean? I'm
sorry, sweetie.
Oh,
it stuck. Oh! Ah! She threw...
Oh, that was the snot rag.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
That's what I'm afraid of. Ah! Where's my... Here,
I'm joking.
I got my hand sanitizer right here.
I'm joking. But the reason we bring it up is because at a restaurant, a man and woman are sitting there having dinner, okay?
Okay.
And the waitress
at
comes...
At the restaurant.
Yes, and the waitress comes over, and she starts calling the man baby. Well, the woman, the girlfriend of the man, got very offended and got into a tussle with the.
TikTok went viral. She's just working for tips.
And she tried to tell her, you know, that's just Southern hospitality. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. The lady was like, it's inappropriate. I'm sitting here with my boyfriend and you're coming over calling him baby. It's just not right. Okay. Stop doing it. Okay. So, anyway. It's a big debate. A lot of people say, and it may be an age thing. Ruben, are you?
See, that's another thing. I think it's an age thing.
I think it is. It may be.
I'm so used to waitresses just saying, "Get out of here, dirtbag." I would welcome a baby or honey anytime.
See, you can call me a dirtbag. I'm good with that. Dirtbag's okay. Poor Ruben.
Put that out and get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
All right. Well, I'll have to be careful then.
Yeah, you better watch out.
I'm curious then. Mm-hmm. I'm old school.
And I especially don't like the people that overuse it. Everybody is honey, baby, sweetie. Everybody to them is honey, baby, sweetie.
Right.
Stop it. Please. You know you hate that woman. And you're calling her honey, baby, sweetie. Stop it.
I love Jojack, the character on King of the Hill that just calls everybody honey. Men, women, whoever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, honey.
If that's the worst thing I have to worry about, all right, call me baby.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And I guess it depends on the context and who. I don't know.
Yeah. Now I'm going to get a zillion texts today. How are you, baby? Stop it.
See, that's, and if somebody hits you up, if you will, on Facebook Messenger, hey, baby, it's like,
got to go.
You're a creep.
Yeah, you're a creep.
You're a creep. If they don't even know you.
My Facebook Messenger is full of creeps. Full of creeps.
Sorry about that. Mike and McCarty, baby, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
We got the greatest listeners. Mm-hmm. Try AI to draw equal congressional districts.
Oh, no.
That's very interesting.
It is. I wonder what it would look like. That would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because now I'm going to get, just don't start me on that.
Yeah.
On gerrymandering.
I think Senator Seebaugh told Moon the other day, he thinks they're going to go into special session, and they've set some dates aside, and looks like they may be going in to try to redraw the lines. I don't know if that's really going to happen or not. We'll have to see, because they got to get something done
right
by next spring, by the springtime when the election is. So, and we're still up in the air on what the court ruling will be. So, that's still a mess, still quite the mess.
So the court ruling that we're waiting on the court ruling,
mm-hmm. right?
To say.
Either you redraw them or we're going to redraw them or right. whatever. Right now we're stuck with the districts like they are, the Cleo Fields seat, mm-hmm. which comes all the way up the state. And as it sits now, the election will move forward with that current map, with the way it exists today, unless the court changes something between now and the I don't know what the last drop-dead date would be for when the Secretary of State has to have the maps right. done, but I'm sure she needs at least 60 days out, at least. So, I don't know.
What? Kathy says, I've always liked the baby honey thing. Yep, sweet Southern thing. I like winks, too. Innocent, not nasty ones.
Oh, okay, yeah. I got you. By the way, one of your sweeties might be, in fact, will be leaving office. The election in New Orleans is this weekend. So we'll find out who's going to be, who will be in the running to be the next mayor.
Follow up on that next. Mm-hmm. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
By the way, how have we not mentioned this historic peace agreement, Aaron?
Oh, I know.
This is amazing.
This is a big deal. Big deal.
Trump announced yesterday ceasefire going into effect. Hamas and Israel agreeing to a deal releasing the hostages, Trump said last night, hopefully by Monday, our time.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Yeah, finally. Gosh, finally.
Now, when you add this to what he's already accomplished,
mm-hmm.
the peace deals he's already brokered.
Yes.
If he doesn't get the Nobel Peace Prize.
They're not going to give Donald Trump the Nobel Peace Prize. Mike.
How can you not? How can you not?
That will never happen.
You don't think so?
Never happen.
I don't see how they cannot.
I would be shocked if they did. I would be shocked if they did. The world doesn't like him.
They I don't know that the world doesn't like him. When you look at his foreign policy, it's unbelievable. Look at the reception he gets at other countries. Look at the Middle East countries when he did that tour a few months ago. They literally rolled out the red carpet.
They do, but then behind his back,
I don't think so.
I would be shocked if they. This earns it. Obama would have gotten it. Biden would have gotten it.
Well, Bush would have got it.
Obama did. But I'm telling for this deal, any other American president would have gotten it. Should he get it? Yeah, absolutely. This is a big deal. If it holds, let's make sure it holds. You know, Hamas has agreed to release 20 Israeli prisoners within 72 hours. Let's make sure that happens. Israel's going to free about 1,700 Palestinian prisoners. Let's make sure that happens. And then Israeli troops will start being moved out of Gaza. We need to get supplies in. I mean, the people there need food. They need, you know, water. They need to be taken care of. Right now, it's in horrible condition. And this deal also facilitates the humanitarian aid that is needed in the region.
Right.
Because that's a big, big problem right now.
So, again, you add this to what he's already accomplished. This is incredible. I just, again, I don't see how you cannot. But you're right. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
It's just not gonna happen. I'm sure it's gonna come up. Someone will bring it up, but I bet in the discussion, we can't give it to him. How on earth could we give it to him? I mean, that's gonna be said.
Right.
You know it is. And they're gonna vote or whatever they do. I don't know if they, you know, how they do it.
It's coming up, isn't it? It's coming up.
Yeah, it is. But I don't think this is. They've already probably decided. The Nobel Peace Prize for this year. This might be in the running for next year. I don't know. Because right now they're doing literature, I think, today. They did medicine 2 days ago. They announced them kind of daily. So they've been announcing them this week. So I don't know about the Peace Prize yet for this year, but it should be any day now. Because they've been announcing them all week.
So let's see, Nobel Peace Prize. Well, it is too much.
Yeah, it'll be coming.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who gets it this time. I don't know.
All right, baby. Well, I appreciate it.
Don't you
hurt it. It really gets her.
I'm out of ammo.
It really does.
I'll make some more ammo. Wait a minute.
I love you, baby. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.